We're going to have a lot to talk about with girls.
Welcome to LeagueCast.
Hello and welcome to episode 556 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm Nick Cooper and joining me is Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Happy Tuesday.
And a very special guest, the one and only Pards.
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Pards Bay. It is Tuesday.
He's here. He's ready to exhaust us on ARAM.
Aiden is feeling a little bit under the weather, so we very graciously had one of our prominent community members step in and be willing to assist us. So we're gonna run on the show and then we'll talk about ourselves, the week, etc. We've got two new patrons, no LeagueCast news, no new news, so it's gonna be a quick jump straight into competitive league, where we're gonna have a lot to talk about with girls groups part one. I combined groups and worlds into one.
That's what's on your mind.
Groups part one, and then we'll hear from our friends at NordVPN, and then we'll close it out with roundtable and mail fight. Colton, how was your week, buddy?
My week was pretty good. I'm trying to think through about what all I did. Played a lot of League, been trying to get back to Master. Was going pretty well, was up to like D150 LP, currently back down to D375 LP after I think a 12 game loss streak.
Oh,
sorry, so far, those numbers can go higher.
True. Can we get much higher? Yes.
we can. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, how good of teams you get sometimes. Like, I don't know how, as an AD carry, you see that I picked Nasus into Kalista, and you're like, we have to play safe. We have to run away. And so I'm like sitting there, like the whole Wither goes through, and then afterwards, and like the MF is just like throwing an E over it instead of trading. Like, you do not lose Nasus into Kalista, but you do with the shit jungler and AD carry. It's so fun.
Yeah, it is hard to have like a string of that many losses as someone who, spoiler, lost a lot this week and not feel slighted in some way by matchmaking, you know. Like, I couldn't 50-50 my way to a single win during this 13 game streak.
Know, that's wild. But anyway, outside of that, one of Rachel's friends visited and stayed with us this weekend, so that was a lot of fun.
Nice.
You know, hung out, got some yummy barbecue. We all played a little bit of Overcooked together, so that was fun. I mean, outside of that, it's just been kind of, you know, work, keeping on the grind, and yeah, that's about it for me. Nick, what you been up to?
Oh, so I also had a bit of a loss streak. I think mine was 8 this past earlier week. I am currently down, I think, 45 LP from where I started. I have streaked back up. I think I'm on a five game winning streak. So I'm not really sure what to make of that. but we'll see. Well, I am enjoying the game sometimes, most of the time, I would say. So I think that's pretty much it. I don't really think I did like a crazy amount this week. Yeah. Pards, let's hear from you. Why don't you tell us about your weekend?
Since your last time hosting the
show.
Since my last time.
Yeah.
So I've officially given up on the climb for ranked. I when you stop having fun and get more angry than you are enjoying the game, I decided to call it quits. So I'm ending the season gold one. But I'm currently working on the transition to mid lane from, I'm like a jungle support player right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been, I've been enjoying the game a lot more. Got to play Clash, not, I guess not last week, but the week before with some friends, but tier one clash ending at freaking 12-15 or whatever, because it's the four game Worlds Clash 16 team tournament. So the extra game, it's not good for my sleep. I normally go to bed at like 10. So
yeah, same.
Yeah. Other than that, I've tried to play Overwatch 2 whenever it's not down for maintenance or whatever. And I've been playing some Apex Legends. But yeah, that's pretty much been this last week.
Nice. That's fun. What about, when did you start listening to LeagueCast?
I guess like, a little bit about
let's
that.
Let's do some general stuff, yeah.
I think it was 2016 or 2017, I was on a road trip from Idaho, Rexburg, Idaho. It's in southeast Idaho, down to Atlanta, Georgia. I decided to download some podcasts before my trip. So I downloaded, I think I listened to a couple different league podcasts. So I listened to Trinity Force. There was something called like Two Barrels or something. It was like these Irish dudes that like do like a pirate barrel theme, whatever, but they were league casters or league podcasters. And I listened to LeagueCast and then I sort of just kept listening.
One of those three.
I think I've. I mean, I might have missed a couple of the other episodes of Trinity Force and Barrels, but I don't think I've missed a LeagueCast episode since.
Hell yeah!
There we go.
So that's what we like to hear.
Well, nice. Yeah, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us on this this little special episode. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, I guess on into it, where we're gonna say thank you to our two new patrons, Jagelski and Actual Yordle. Thank you guys for joining our patrons, and I guess on to LeagueCast news, where there's nothing.
Yeah, there's no news, including LeagueCast news and new news. We debated talking about the LS gambling stuff, but I think we're gonna wait for Aiden, because I think he'll have some interesting perspective as someone who likes LS and also gambles on League. So that'll be fun. So let's just start with Worlds, the most important League stuff to happen so far. Have you guys watched a lot of Worlds?
I've watched a lot of the games.
Okay, nice.
I'm generally pretty casual League viewer. I only watch LCS, but then when Worlds comes, I try to watch it a lot.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Caught up through day 3 of groups, so I still have like one more day to watch, but those are the games I've seen, and so far I think it's been a pretty good, like, fairly competitive Worlds so far.
Yeah, I mean, with the exception of one region, I would say. I would agree. Do you guys have any,
my pickums where I put Cloud9 at 2 in that group?
For sure. Okay, cool. So I guess we'll just do a quick rundown and then we can talk about the groups individually.
Yeah, let's go ahead and start with the actual standings. So currently, Group A is a three-way tie for first between T1, Fnatic, and EDG, with Cloud9 sitting squarely at the bottom with a 0-3 record.
Yeah.
Group B, as well as really every other group, actually has parity between their spots. At the top of Group B, we've got JDG at 3-0, Amon Kia at 2-1, G2 at 1-2, and Evil Geniuses at 0-3. Group C, currently, I missed this apparently, Rogue is at the top of the group.
So this has been a huge surprise, yeah. I would say.
They look really good.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit.
With DRX going second at 2-1, top third place 1-2, and GAM at the bottom 0-3. Finally, Group D, we've got Royal Never Give Up at the top of the group at 3-0. Gen G is 2-1 for the second place. Flying Oyster 1-2 for third place. And 100 Thieves 0-3. That's right, you heard it here. North America 0-9 at Worlds.
0-9 so far.
So far.
Have you seen the Double Leaf tweets? But he's like, no. You are here. So he's tweeting out.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Like zero, yeah. You are currently here. We're at 0-9.
So fucking funny. God. Yeah, there is a there's currently a chance for us to go 0-18, which would be absolutely shocking.
The gap is closing.
The gap is closing.
The gap is closing between NA and all of the like minor regions that don't get seeded directly into the tournament.
It is actually so wild. So yeah, that's kind of how the standings look overall. Is there anything that you guys want to like specifically mention, like talk about that's been exciting for you? We could go group by group and sort of talk about that.
I like seeing the Faker Akali picks. I feel like the last time that I saw like big Faker at Worlds, I remember him playing like Karma and stuff, and like
he's been popping off.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's playing a more of a carry role, and yeah, you know, you always like to see Faker. So
yeah, it is it is very clear that they you know, prioritize Akali very, very highly currently. Mm-hmm. So
he's still got it. It's been fun to see him, yeah, in carries. I'm sure as things go further along, we will still see some of the supportive Faker picks. But I mean, that's always also part of what's made him so good is like, yeah, he can like dunk you with Akali, but he'll also probably beat you in lane with Karma.
Yeah, exactly. It's that versatility, like giving T1 kind of whatever they need, which is just how do you play against that, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. Fnatic has definitely been performing better than I think most anyone expected coming into Worlds.
They were
the one to take the game off T1, right?
Sight, don't listen to this part. I think that this is the fool's gold, so to speak, of Worlds so far, where I do really think that Fnatic has been overperforming based on their expectations, I'll say, which is not a bad thing if they're able to pop off like that. But it's definitely definitely not what I expected coming in. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I remember they talked about it on the desk, like, I think it was Fnatic had a 10% chance or whatever, like from the time of making it even into LEC playoffs, because they were how it was, you know, how it went down over there. But now they're looking pretty good.
Yeah, I was not expecting them to do that great, especially like with their issues that we kind of talked about in terms of like roster, not practicing maybe as much as they should have, getting people actually to the tournament. Turns out they were still able to show up and pop off. I don't know how long it'll last, but I do know that my pick'ems bracket for that group is just
ruined. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel.
My only chance, I feel like, at points at this point is just T1 getting out first. Mm. I suppose if Fnatic takes second, then I can just get the C9 Edward flop. Or what, C9 Fnatic flop, because I had Fnatic at the bottom of the group. So if I can get 1-3.
Me too, actually.
1-3 is possible, I suppose, if Fnatic keeps up their form.
I see. Yeah, it's just been surprising. They have looked really good. I think this is a very, very strong meta for the team. So, hey, good for them. It would surprise me if they continued this off into week 3. Or, I'm sorry, part 2, I guess, not week 3. But stranger things have happened, so.
I'm really hoping to see some life out of Cloud9. I mean, I don't think that, like, all of their games have been terrible, but I just remember being at the NA Finals and being like, damn, Cloud9's good. Like, they can compete at Worlds.
Yeah.
And then here we are, where it looks like Cloud9... is extremely outclassed, which, you know, granted, maybe it was expected to happen, but it's still sad nonetheless. It is going to be a very, very tough group for them to get a win out of,
Salvage at this point.
I don't even know if they can get a dub.
Hopefully. Hopefully NA gets at least one win out of each team. That would be, that's the goal at this point, is for each team.
So if you guys had to... If you guys had to take a guess, who do you think is currently poised to get, if NA only gets one win, who are you attributing that win to? I think it's a pretty easy Evil Geniuses for me. I think they have the benefit of being in not the strongest group, as well as maybe looking the best.
I would say for NA getting a win, we'll probably talk about it later, but 100 Thieves. In the same group with Flying Oyster. I know 100 Thieves has looked bad, okay. But I feel like with a wild card, or not a wild card, a smaller region than NA, you know, we just get a good game on closer, get a good game on Sunday, and hopefully that'll be enough.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, I'm at a toss-up between, I feel like, Evil Geniuses taking a win off G2 or 100 Thieves taking a win off Flying Oyster. Mm-hmm. I doubt any of the teams are going to, you know, in Group B, they're not going to take a game off JDG or Dom Juan.
God, JDG looks so good. Yeah. Oh, man. It is so fun to watch them play. It really feels like they understand, like, how the meta is supposed to be played currently.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess with that, do we want to move into Group B? Well, I guess we've already talked results. Any surprises out of Group B for you?
Out of Group B, not really. I guess I've just been a little disappointed by G2. Which is not to say that it's unexpected. It's just, I'm not really sure how to describe it.
Almost like you wanted to see the world's buff and you haven't.
Yeah. It's almost like this is the group where I would expect the EU team to go 2-1 tied with everyone else versus, mm-hmm. The Fnatic group, you know,
mm-hmm.
This is where I would expect it. Not there, but, yeah,
I feel like playoff caps is sort of a meme. Claps.
yeah,
I'd like to see it a little bit closer there.
Mm-hmm. Same. All right, Group C, the real surprise of the tournament.
probably the biggest surprise out of any of them is right now Rogue at the top of the group, 3-0, in a group with Top and DRX.
Yeah, they've looked crazy good. I think Top is like pretty drastically underperformed, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I've not been impressed with what I've seen out of Top Esports, and unfortunately that's the only group that I put the LPL seed above the LCK seed.
My
pickums are not looking great, but hey, you know, Rogue is popping off. I forgot how good Rogue was, and I had put them at the bottom of the thing because I just wanted to meme and pray for Gigabyte Marines. does not seem like Rogue is going to go fourth in that group. Seems like they're probably going to go one in that group, or at the least two.
Yeah, I don't know. It is going to be tough for them to not finish first, I guess. Have a very decent chance to perform or to make the knockout group.
Yeah.
Which, good for them.
Take the copium and realize that every NA team could still go 3-3.
True.
And right? They could all be competing for first seeds in their group.
That's true.
True.
All they have to do is win the next three games. And so we got final Group D. I was surprised at the RNG win over Gen.G, but I also feel like best of ones is not where we're gonna see Gen.G shine.
Yeah, it almost feels like Gen.G feels a little bit out of place in the meta, I would say. They seem to have a bad read on the meta, I guess is how I would describe it. Compared to the other teams like RNG. I think RNG looks really, really good. But
you know, hopefully they can get it back together before they start playing, I guess, in the knockout stage where things are gonna be messy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, another team that another surprise. How about the Flying Oysters taking a game off of 100 Thieves? I think that was crazy.
Nah, it's not crazy. NA sucks.
Yeah, listen. When you are accustomed to NA losing every game. I mean, I was surprised that we lost to Flying Oyster, but now I kind of expect it.
No, I don't know. I just think I think it looked it was on paper not supposed to happen, and it did. So
yeah,
very surprising.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not particularly sold on 100 Thieves. I don't think that they're great, but
I think 100 Thieves has looked the worst. I think they've just looked terrible, to be quite honest.
So glad that Flying Oyster gets a win over them.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
All right, so I'd say that's about it for Worlds coverage. Next week, we'll have the second part of those groups happening. And I don't know, we'll see if any other crazy weird stuff happens. I've been trying to track my other pick'ems as things go, where it's like, I know there have been a couple Baron steals and I think one Pentakill so far. Mm-hmm.
There's been more than one Pentakill.
Oh, has there been two?
Guma almost got one, and he's my get one Pentakill, and they didn't help him get it, and I was sad.
Yeah, no, Guma got two Quadra kills that game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, but it counts. It counts the play-ins part as well. Where there were two Pentas there already. Okay.
Gotcha.
Upset and one by I can't remember.
All right. Well, but yeah. Keeping my eyes peeled for the most important part of Worlds, which is getting your silly pick'ems bets right, yeah, so you can get true. Icons.
Yes, I
get four. That really matters. But yeah, that's it for Worlds coverage. So we're gonna jump into our ad read from our friends at NordVPN, who are once again offering you a crazy deal on their amazing product. You're going to be able to get whatever plan you want, either the standard with the VPN, the plus plan with VPN and password locker, or the complete plan with the VPN, password, and the encrypted file storage. All of that you can get for a huge discount, plus 4 months of bonus, I guess, subscription on that. That's 4 months bonus for free. All of that you can get by going to nordvpn.com/leaguecast. If you want to, you know, support a certain region and you want to watch Worlds from Europe, even though you're actually in NA, boom, NordVPN's got you covered. If you, need to keep your password safe from any kind of internet criminals, boom, they got you covered with that password locker. And if you need to hide your .raffle files of your ultra insane secret scrim tech from your Worlds opponents, you can save it in that encrypted file locker. All of that's available to you by going to nordvpn.com/leaguecast. Again, you're going to get a huge discount on the plan, 4 months for free, and all of that comes with Nord's 30-day money back guarantee if you're a crazy person and for some reason you decide that you don't want it anymore.
Yeah, that's crazy. That would be crazy.
You'd be an insane person. I'm telling you, 100%, man. Top esports, JDG, they've got their scrim files saved away with Nord. Don't want anyone getting in on that secret tech.
I don't know if we can make that claim, but I like that. I like that we will.
You know? I certainly cannot make that claim.
We should. We certainly shouldn't, but we will. Well,
it's already done. Thank you to NordVPN for supporting the show.
And protecting Worlds files.
Yeah. No, pre-world scrim files. That's
pre-world. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
That would be ridiculous. Yeah.
Their secret tech that they don't want anybody to know about. They played it on unknown accounts and then they saved the .raffle files.
I see.
So they can watch the scrims, but only at like a secure location.
As every team tends to do.
Exactly.
For being totally honest.
Mm-hmm. So into roundtable, what was last week's question?
Last week's question, sorry, let me find it, was you are tasked with creating the next League of Legends champ. The only caveat is that they must be related to a current champion. Who is your new champion related to, and what aspect of gameplay do they share to tie them together? On Twitter, we had Wise Papa Smurf say Thresh's dad, Robert. He's the warden of the Shadow Isles team building program. He has 11 passives, one ability. He throws lanterns that do damage when not clicked. He specializes in breaking emotional chains of his teams. Passive activate as your team cooperates. I like that one. Dragon Tamer 888 said, surprised you guys didn't mention Tim Kench. This is finally the chance, but I would give someone an evil twin like Heimer. His twin is a wizard slash summoner who uses people instead of turrets. Have his ult take power from his abilities, empower him rather. Oh, that'd be sick. And Joran said, I'd make Valor similar kit to Quinn, but he soars slightly above the map, so he has wider vision and enemies have to get closer to auto attack him due to him being higher up in the air. Also, whenever Quinn is in the same game and ults, Valor is summoned right above Quinn to carry her as a slave. I don't know about that one. That'd be pretty crazy. And do you want to read Discord, Colton?
Yeah, let me get that pulled up. Pards, hey, that's the guy on the show.
Whoa, it's him from the podcast.
It's him. It's that guy. It's Pards Bay from Arcane. He said, "I would for sure make Katarina and Cassiopeia's dad slash Talon's boss and the leader of the Blades. I think his name is Marcus, and he is presumed missing. In lore, he is Noxus's best assassin. He would for sure be throwing daggers and hopping around." And it would be a new champ if I didn't introduce some kind of broken mechanic, maybe involving invisibility. Vitality said I would make King Jarvan the Third, Jarvan the Fourth's dad. And the difference is that the dad's flagpole is bigger.
Okay.
Speedy Spike said, hands down, the mother of the terror of the void, a void being named Chomama. Chomama would have CC on her basic abilities. She can ground you, she can shush you and silence you, and can slap you so hard you get knocked back. Chomama's size would obviously infinitely scale because Chomama's so fat she can occupy three lanes at once.
God.
Damn it, that's a good answer.
Yeah, it is. That's the best one.
Sensei Bean said, give me Viego's wife, an enchanter support who can recall with Viega, kind of similar to Zyra Khan. But the cool part of her is that at the beginning of the game, she chooses a life force to grasp onto. She needs one because she's dead. The one she chooses benefits from her ultimate, which steals the stats of a target champion and gives them to the champion who she chose to attach to. Her Q is an auto attack buff on an ally or herself. W would be a stun where she throws out the black mist and allies in the black mist gain attack speed. And her E would be a shield, but whatever part of the shield doesn't get broken restores HP up to 20% of the shield that remains. So we got a whole kit on that one. And finally, from Jay Picante said, Tim Kench, that's all I need to say.
True.
True. I wasn't around to answer this question, and I feel like it would be really fun and interesting to, like, it wouldn't really work because, like, Draven and Darius's dad, like, I don't think really is anything big, because I think that they, like, both grew up poor and, like, eventually rose to success. But I would love to have, like, a Noxian general that's just, like, bigger and badder than both of them. But it doesn't really make sense for it to be their dad. So maybe they've got, like, a cousin that's just cooler than both of them. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Travius.
Travius. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he's got axes that are as big as Darius's, but he can throw them and catch them like Draven.
Nice.
So I've got this week's roundtable question is, how would you save the future of NA League of Legends?
Okay, before you guys give bullshit real answers, I want to tell you about the actual truth and what Riot needs to do. We need it scripted. We need excellent storylines. We need it to just become an entertainment product and not some stupid, lame, like, we're going to actually try to compete on the world stage, but with limited resources and talent pool and et cetera. We, like, turn this into the WWE, and I'm so down for it.
Give me a heel.
I don't think that that's actually a bad answer, where it's like, how do you save NA? Is like, pump the money of the scene into the entertainment value,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, drop the notion of being a top four region. And just, like, NA gets, like, one slot at Worlds.
Exactly.
but if the goal is to improve the competitive quality of NA teams and try and start putting NA teams into international events that can actually compete, it's tough. I mean, I think, like, format changes could be beneficial, right? Like, I think if we did best of threes all season,
mm-hmm.
that is better for competitive play. I think that makes the players better. I think that there are definitely actions that could be taken to improve NA solo queue, in terms of like getting rid of a lot more of the like botted counts, the win traders. Like if you make the NA server more competitive in solo queue, the players will just on average be better. And then when they, you know, get to LCS or get to Worlds, they'll perform better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, man, it's tough because we are so far behind.
Yeah.
Realistically, I think, yeah, improving solo queue is probably a big help. I think a lot of, you know, like newer people to the game maybe have bad experiences. I know, I feel like majority of the time when I play League right now, it is a negative experience in chat. And so like, if you're a newer person, you know, that might turn you into a different game. So like getting more population to play, you know, could always help. But I think the real answer is probably need to get into politics and change the, how long it takes to someone to become a resident. True. So they can have more imports, because that rule has changed. So just get more imports, spend more money, win more games.
Mm-hmm. Buy a better team. Just purchase all of top esports. And then we can compete, maybe.
I'm just down for
give
it.
Give me Upset and Hillsong on an NA team.
We've tried stuff like that before. We bought really good players. Then somehow when they go to NA, they get worse.
How could that happen?
What'd you say, Nick?
I said, how could that happen?
How could that happen? If you guys have answers to this week's roundtable question, which again is how would you save the future of NA League of Legends, you can hit us up on Discord. You can hit us up on Twitter. You can send us an email. But probably the best place would be the roundtable channel on Discord or on Twitter at LeagueCast. And let us know your thoughts.
Hell yeah. Let's move into Mail Fight. The first email is from Brybump. Hello, LeagueCast crew. After listening to this week's podcast, I know some internames in higher elo makes sense for dodging purposes. However, as someone who's in bronze and enjoys playing ranked bot accounts, bot accounts have become a serious problem. I know people complain all the time about this, but the past week has simply been unbearable to play as an AD carry because bots are primarily supports. I've played 15 games in the past week with a bot support, and the other games have had a bot support on the other team. You guys have talked about how bots are common in this elo because iron accounts sell for the most money, which is what it is. I have a third-party app that allows me to identify when my support is indeed a bot, but at this point, dodging would just lose me LP, delay me by playing 5 minutes, and inevitably get another bot next game. Two questions I have. I would say I main jungle, but recently I've found a ton of enjoyment playing AD carry, as Kai'Sa is my highest mastery and is pretty good currently. But every time I load in and there's a bot as my support, it makes my game not fun. 2v1 bot lane is hard to do much in. So is the only way to solve this issue to go back to the jungle and climb out so I stop having an insane amount of bots in my games? Second, why do you think Riot, as a massive company who knows bot accounts are a problem, has neglected to at least attempt to fix this problem? Only got half of the way through the character limit, so I will not apologize for the length of this email, but thank you guys for great content always. So I guess the second part of your question, no idea. This is probably something that is pretty easy to identify. And I would be, I don't know. I'm not really sure why it's not being looked at, I guess, more seriously, more frequently.
Yeah. The only, like the best guesses I could make are, one, that they are working on developing a tool to just like detect and auto ban these things, and they're trying to make sure that it's like good before they implement it. I think more realistically, they just don't really care that much.
Mm-hmm.
Because like these accounts up the number of people playing their game, and like that's good for pulling more investments, and just like those numbers look good. And then additionally, like they can, as much as like Riot isn't directly profiting off of like the sale of accounts and like that whole ecosystem, it still ultimately does benefit them, right? Because like more people are playing the game, and like people who do purchase those accounts, like some of them are going to go on to purchase more skins on their alt account. And like, I don't know. Ultimately, I think like that is probably why they're not doing much about this, because they just don't really care, because it benefits them.
Yeah, to some degree, it's always going to benefit them, and it's going to be really hard to look beyond that, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a super high priority. I played like probably like 250 co-op versus AI games since Challenges came out. Mm-hmm. And I think in probably like 150 of those, it's four people on your team will just be bots just that run in the mid lane. They all pick AD carry. That like, if they just look at it, they can easily tell, but they just don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very shocking, very sad. I'm not quite sure like what to do about that, I guess, if it's not already being looked at. Unlucky. But thank you for the email. We appreciate it a bunch.
Yeah.
New answer to the first question. Sorry. The jungle, should he main jungle still? Or
I think you should just go straight into why don't you play support? Like, unironically, it sounds like it sucks, but if you can consistently beat these players, like, that is just free LP for you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's actually a pretty good point, where it's like, if you are queuing primary support, that is going to drastically decrease the chance of getting a support bot on your team.
Yeah, exactly. Like, on your team, you can decrease it by 100% if you're able to get it. You know, if not, then at the very least, like, I don't know, you're playing against a real player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's pros and cons, but go for it. It can't hurt more than just playing with it, you know?
Yeah, support will help you to pick up things for laning, bot lane, to carry if you want to end up doing that a lot. So it'll be good to get that perspective.
Yeah,
for sure. Awesome. Luck, thank you,
Bri. Next email is from Totus, who says, "Hey all, my name is Totus, and I would love to see Set's father added as a top laner, with him being like Set and using his fist, but some other gimmick than the W. I would love to know what y'all think, and hope that you have a great day. Best regards, Totus."
Draven's already in the game. but for real, that would be really cool.
I think it'd be so funny if, instead of being similar to Set, like a big bruiser that uses his fists, if we just got like the opposite, like he's this skinny, nervous, like support caster.
Yumi too.
Like almost like the personality of like Lilia, but yeah, like Yumi too, like yeah. And that's funny. Just like, man, Set went the total opposite direction.
Instead of him punching left hand, right hand, he'll just...
Right, left, boom.
Yeah, right, left, right, left.
New champ.
That's funny.
Now he's going to walk around on his hands and he kicks right, left, right, left.
League is fixed.
Thank you, Totus, for... I think that was an answer to the roundtable. Next email from Armis, who says, "Hey, LeagueCast, it's been a while. A few answers for the roundtable, but one main answer and a recommendation for people out there. First of all, please, any of you out there, if you haven't, read or listen to Ruination. It's become my personal favorite novel and is probably one of the best League stories ever written, up there with the likes of Arcane. Gave me such a huge appreciation for the characters involved. It also ties into the roundtable question. I'll get the two more unlikely candidates out of the way first. So first is Jendakaya, the first Sentinel of Light, who originally crafted the relic weapons to fight against the Black Mist. She uses a relic gun and a relic sword for combat, so I think it'd play it like a mix of both GP and Lucian. The only problem is that she's currently dead in the lore. That's not a problem.
Yeah, we'll fix it.
Yeah. Next would be Venix, a Vestayan ship captain who helped Callista find the Blessed Isles. She's incredibly based, and she joined with the Sentinels at the end of the book with a relic crossbow. I think she'll be more likely because of Vestayan lifespan, but likely by not by much. Lastly, and I think that this one would be the most likely to happen, is Commander Ledros. He's Callista's best soldier, said to be a behemoth of a man bigger than even Hecarim before he became the Centaur. He fights brutally with a sword and shield, and I think he'd play like a bruiser-tank hybrid, able to take a ton of punishment and dish back as much. He's also perfectly capable of showing up in the game. Since he's currently in the Shadow Isles, he could have some interesting interactions with Calista, Viego, Hecarim, etc. Sorry for the long email. I just needed to gush about the novel. It's so good. Again, this is from Armis. I'm trying to think, is Leona the only Sword and Shield character?
That was one of my Jeopardy questions. Leona is the only Sword and Shield character in the game.
Because, like, Pantheon is Spear and Shield.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that those are the only two even that are like have a shield.
Weapon plus shield.
Well, yeah. And Poppy's got her little buckler, Poppy, yeah. I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got like one spear shield, one sword shield, one hammer shield. I feel like Sword and Shield is way too iconic that we don't ever get another Sword and Shield character.
Yep.
And it could be so good. Like even Leona doesn't use her shield for anything, right?
Yeah.
Right? Like... Yep. I don't know, I feel like Pantheon kind of does, and Poppy kind of does, but like there's no champions that have like weapon plus shield and actually really use them both in like a cohesive kit. I'm mm-hmm. down. I wanna see it.
Yep. I'm super down as well.
Stun with her shield? Is that her Q?
Leona?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So she does.
Yep.
I guess. Yeah, so thank you for the email, Armis. I suppose, do we go on to the next one?
Yeah, I think we're ready for the next one. Is this from Scavis? Highly cast, long-time listener, writing in for your advice on a common enough scenario. Imagine you are in ranked solo queue champ select and everyone is locked in besides the support. Your team currently has no tanks and no bruisers, maybe Viego jungle, Teemo top, whatever. What support do you hope to see picked last here to give your team the best odds of winning the game? My personal insight is that as the support, it sure feels bad to frontline 4v4s and 5v5 solo as tank Maokai on support econ. Thanks in advance for your thoughts, Scavis. I guess like ideally, if you were to build a team comp, you would have maybe like 1.5 tanks, but I think just one tank is fine. How do you guys feel about that?
I think that 1.5 tanks can be fine, but the issue is that if your support is a full tank on support income, I feel like they count as half. And then if you have like a bruiser jungle, that's also a half, so you're at like barely one. I think that there's a drastic lack of frontline in a lot of games, and it can work out, but can also go really, really, really badly. But I feel like the draft quality of solo queue is just absolute dog shit to begin with.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of how I feel as well, where I don't think like maybe in an ideal world you would be doing that. But realistically, you don't need to draft like an LCS player. You know, you just need everyone on their most comfortable champion, like their one trick. And 99% of the time, that's going to be absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I used to always try to pick my champ for comp, like what would best fit here. And now I just pick what I think is fun or what I think I'm best at. I don't think it makes a huge difference until you get to a higher level of play.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the reality of it is like you're not going to need to play, you know, more than one champion, two champions likely. So trying to build your comp like that is, I would say, a bad idea most of the time. So I don't know. To answer your question, like, I don't necessarily think it feels bad. As someone who does play a lot of Maokai, I think it's fine. Realistically, you just need like one or two people to just get the fight going. And Maokai is good enough at that I think that's all you really need.
Yeah, Maokai is just OP.
Maokai is OP. I would recommend anyone pick him if you're able to currently.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you for the email, Scavis. On to the next one from Wallace. Okay. I've been doing a lot. I've been listening to a lot of older episodes where you three mentioned that you play in tournaments together. Been interested in playing in a tournament recently. What site did you use to sign up? Do you know if there has been any interest from other listeners in a diamond level tournament? Could you speak some more on your guys' experience with tournaments and any tips you would give to someone diving into them for the first time, either with a team or as a free agent loyalist?
Yeah, so I wanted to start out with this. Be patient and kind. These are players who are like playing with you. A lot of the times they're going to be maybe not the most like solo queue battle hungry, you know, or battle starved, I guess, whatever you want to, however you want to call it, like battle hardened. That's the word I'm looking for. Players, they're just going to be players who like want to have fun and play a more serious version of solo queue without the flame and things like that. So like be nice. The game might not go perfectly and that's okay. I want to lead off with that. As for finding a team and things like that, what have we used before? I forgot what they were sponsors for a little bit. Now I've forgotten
I've played in one tournament with Aiden, his cousin, I think Wild Thane, and then one guy who I don't remember his name. Mm-hmm. But we used Gamercraft.
That's what it is. Yeah. And Gamercraft is good. They're good people. Definitely use that.
Yeah, there's a lot of different like websites, groups, organizing tournaments. You know, Gamercraft is one that we've used and enjoyed. I'm sure, like, if you just Google like League of Legends tournaments, you'll be able to find several ways to join them. If you're just starting getting into competitive tournaments, I would avoid paid entry and avoid like proper leagues, because mm-hmm. those are really big commitments that you probably don't want to do until you have like an established roster and you are actually practicing.
Yeah.
Right. It's easy to put together five people to play Clash or to play in one tournament that's like at most going to be two games and a best of five.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to like, you know, like the collegiate leagues or like, I'm currently subbing for a team in like a league that's like they play every week for a series of weeks and they're also like scrimming multiple times a week, you know, like that's a big commitment mm-hmm. and not something you probably would want to expect or maybe would want to be your first, you know, entry into like that competitive realm. I'd say first and foremost is just look for players. Find ideally five. You're probably fine if you can only get like three or four to start people to be the core of your team and, you know, play flex queue together, play in all the clashes. If you can look for those tournaments and you're going to start by probably losing a lot and that's fine. But then work to like identify your mistakes and try and keep getting better.
Yeah. Awesome. I know, think Sejuani Baby Daddy in the Discord is in a, I think it's like a gold level league, but you could probably reach out to him to see if he has any like other, what league he's in. I know they do like a draft and a preseason and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I'm going to reach out to him to see if he can get into something similar.
Yeah. If you know anyone that's like in or part of a team, a lot of those leagues have, you know, like it's not just they have one league at the highest level. They're probably, if it's a decent sized organization, running like four or five leagues at several levels of play.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. Yeah, good luck.
Awesome. Yeah. Good luck, buddy. And our last email is from Medic Behind You. Hi, LeeCast. It's me, Medic Behind You. I took your advice. Just get better, scrub. And am now a starter for SKT in the next Worlds match. I have an average KD of 60 and exclusively play AD Yumi top. After getting good like you suggested, I am now a transcendent being and have replaced Daddy Musk as the richest person on Earth. How may you may ask? NordVPN. NordVPN allowed me to train on every server at once and allowed me to instantly travel to Korea to get the secret gamer juice they give league players there. It also protected me from all the hackers trying to get my billions of dollars with its threat protection and malware blocker. Speaking of billions, did you know Nord has literally billions of servers around the world giving you the best speed of any VPN ever? And if you go to nordvpn.com/leagueguest, you'll get four bonus months plus a 30-day money-back guarantee. Nord may not give you the smooth balls or remove nature's mistakes, ass hair, but it will give you best-in-class service and, more importantly, a smooth brain so you can write run-on sentences like me. Medic behind you, the number one league player. Thank you for coming to me, Nord Talk. Medic behind you.
Oh, boy.
Huh.
It's funny to me the idea that he's a starter for SKT and will compete in the next Worlds match that SKT plays in. Because SKT will never play another game of League
again. Don't tell him that. Don't tell him that. That's funny. That is funny.
SKT plays at Worlds, he'll be there.
He'll be there, and we'll be there to cheer him on. Mm-hmm. That'll be it for this episode of LeagueCast. Thank you to Pards for joining us. Thank you to everyone for listening. You can send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLardoutBlueBasket, LeagueCast Frost. Tweet at us at LeagueCast on Facebook. We're LeagueCast. Visit our website, leaguecastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/LeagueCast. Support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeagueCast. And Pards, do you want to shout anything out?
I don't have anything to plug. Be nice to people in your ranked games.
Hey, fuck you.
That's a
how dare you.
How take dare exhaust you. On ARAM. I change it. Take exhaust on ARAM.
No, that's a war crime.
awesome. Thank you guys. Yeah, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.